7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with part two of our 2018 NFL Draft. And as always, before we kick it off, I am here with Tom and Tim. Guys, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a little early to be doing this, but our teams suck at real football, so we're predicting the future for every team in the NFL right now.
I am super excited, and I don't know what else to say. It's been a crazy week thus far, a fun week, a lot of laughs, and just a good time here. As always, talking football with you two dum-dums.
So if you guys have not had a chance yet, do yourselves a favor. Check out part one, which is 1 through 16. And we're going to kick it off with pick number 17. Go ahead, Tim.
So pick number 17, I have the Buffalo Bills. And I have them taking, I believe I call them Mississauga State, but Mississippi State offensive tackle Martinez Rankin. And if you haven't seen him, this dude is a beast. Big physical monster. The offensive line through the first four games when they played both Georgia and LSU's defense, they gave up zero sacks, both of them very high-powered offenses. I believe going into last week, they had a defensive end who had more sacks himself than sacks allowed already. Only three sacks through their first seven games. This is a very highly tested. You know, Mississippi State hasn't had a lot of success this year, but you talk about someone that you want to anchor your line. Martinez Rankin is one of those guys. A physical beast. I like what he can do, and I think he would be exactly what the Bills need moving forward, potentially with either a Nathan Peterman. They're going to have to change running backs here soon. Get the anchor of that offensive line right now, and Rankin's a guy who can be that piece.
He's a kid that could possibly play left tackle, but most likely be a right tackle in my eyes. But he's a pretty good athlete, clean kid, but I think for him, the Senior Bowl, that's going to show everything. If he can handle that strength, if he can handle going against the top-tier prospects week in and week out, he's struggled against some of the bigger DNs and stronger guys out there, the more developed guys. So we'll see how he performs at the Senior Bowl. That's going to say a lot to where he's going based on or with the offensive tackles in this class so far.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills definitely need help on that offensive line. You still have Shady McCoy there. I don't know who you're going to have at quarterback. You're going to have Peterson. You're going to have Tyrod Taylor still there. Peterson. Are you going to have Tyrod still there? Who are you going to have at quarterback? That's the big question.
It is a big question, but listen, bottom third in pass blocking this year so far, bottom three in rush blocking. This is just a I have that backwards. Bottom three in pass blocking, bottom third in rush blocking. So they need to do something. Rankin's the guy to do it.
The other thing I could see the Bills do here is possibly wide receiver. They traded for Jordan Matthews. They drafted Zay Jones. They traded away Sammy Watkins. I could see a wide receiver here if they felt very like they needed one here.
If they don't address the offensive line this year early and often, they will be the Seattle Seahawks next year.
They need defensive line help as well.
Sure.
Since they traded Darius, Kyle Williams getting long in the tooth, so they're definitely going to need help there. With the 18th overall selection, the Baltimore Ravens select wide receiver Cortland Sutton from SMU. The Ravens right now have a Super Bowl caliber defense in my eyes. They're playing lights out right now, but that offense is terrible. Mike Wallace, Jeremy Maclin, Breshad Perriman, they aren't the answers at the wide receiver position. They need someone who can be a difference maker, someone who could go out and help Joe Flacco on a game-to-game basis, and that's what Cortland Sutton is. He's got the ability. He's got the size, 6'4", 215 pounds, all the athletic gifts, and he has what it takes to be a number one in the NFL.
Yeah, with that height and weight ratio, he is definitely a giant wide receiver. He can definitely be a big physical guy out there to catch the ball. And we've seen them draft wide receiver in the past with the Ravens. Breshad Perriman, he just hasn't panned out. But how long is Mike Wallace going to last? I don't think much longer. So
like 2 weeks ago he ended.
So I feel like the Sutton pick here, I don't hate it. I like it here. Got to give Joe Flacco more weapons.
I like it a lot. I truly believe with all my heart he will be going earlier than this. I don't believe he's going to drop all the way to 18. He's too big of a guy and is too talented at the position, to be perfectly honest with you. He is my number one wide receiver right now. Interested to see how he tests out. Obviously coming from SMU, not a ton of hype behind him. But like you said, I'm interested to see how he does. The Ravens have drafted big physical wide receivers over the last couple of years and haven't really had anything pan out. So interested to see if they have the faith to go with Sutton, or do they potentially go for a quarterback of the future with who knows how long Joe Flacco will be around. It'll be very, very interesting to see how the Ravens progress here.
Pick number 19, the Green Bay Packers. I have them taking defensive end Sam Hubbard out of the Ohio State University. I really wanted to go with a linebacker here, but I feel like you need to add another pass rusher to that defensive line for the Packers. You don't know really what you have there. But again, with the linebacker spot, I can easily see that. Clay Matthews has been banged up, and you need help with the linebackers as well. But D-end here, with Sam Hubbard, the only drawback with him that I have seen is that he has all the talent in the world. But every time you talk about the talent, he has not played up to it or lived up to it. But as of late, the last couple of weeks, he has been playing pretty decent. And I think during the combine, he's going to test very well. So that's why I think he's going to go up on draft boards. A lot of people have him late in the first, early second round.
For me, he's been a disappointment this year. We saw him and little Bosa go against Orlando Brown in that early season matchup against Oklahoma, and both of them got shut down. Seems whenever he's playing the top tier tackle, he doesn't perform. That's the only thing that worries me about him going in the first round right now, and one of the reasons I don't think he will go in the first round. But really, any pick on defense for the Packers will be an upgrade. They definitely need help at every level, secondary, in the front seven. So if Hubbard can have a good combine, which he possibly can. He's kind of an athletic freak, kind of been a stud since he walked into Ohio State. He just needs to put it all together on the field.
I don't like this pick. I'll be perfectly honest with you. You mentioned all the downside that he has had this year. Not to mention the Packers defense need a lot of help. And yes, they need pressure up front, but honestly, I think it's going to start with a linebacker, someone who can play against both the rush and be a decent pass rush as well, someone who can drop back in coverage. Not sure Hubbard's going to fit the bill of what exactly they need. And on top of that, I mean, listen, I think the Packers are going to continue to drop. They put on a good showing against the Steelers this last week, but still inevitably lost. This is we're getting Aaron Rodgers back. This is like a freebie pick, in my opinion. You better make the most of it. Whatever position you think, whatever draft pick is possible to get you to the Super Bowl, instant difference maker, that's who the Packers need to pick. Doesn't matter what side of the ball it's on. Best player available, that's who they need to pick. And I believe that's what the Packers will do. So, number 20 overall, the Seattle Seahawks are up, and obviously they are going to go offensive line. But don't worry, gentlemen, I am picking, so no, they will not. The Seahawks are selecting running back Darius Juice. No, not Juice. Geis out of LSU. And Tom hates when I call him Juice, but I just do it strictly to piss Tom off. Listen, in my opinion, you guys were shocked that I went running back, specifically Josh. I went with Geis over any offensive lineman. The Seattle Seahawks are desperate at offensive line and desperate at the running back position, in my opinion. They need to take the best player available out of those two. Any offensive lineman that they take at that spot is a little bit of a reach, in my opinion. Orlando Brown, maybe not. Maybe not Orlando Brown. But Geis is that immediate difference maker. They're going to have to draft a bunch of linemen on the back end as well. The quality that you're getting in Geis is a little bit more over who's available next, because after that, it's who's the kid out of Stanford? Bryce Love. He's a stud, but I like Geis that much more. He can run between the tackles. He's got that speed on the outside. He's an absolute stud. Implement him in the game with Russell Wilson, and I feel like, as long as you draft well on the back end and an offensive lineman, you're setting yourself up well.
Yeah, I feel like Geis would be almost a perfect fit for the Seattle Seahawks. Look, he brings that similar style of running that Marshawn Lynch made famous in Seattle, that beast mode, and people have called him Little Beast Mode. This dude runs people over, extremely physical. He's kind of shorter, compact, built to withstand punishment. But for me, I like what they have in Chris Carson. Yeah, he got banged up, but he was actually extremely productive. And if they can get more offensive line in there, which they desperately, desperately need, I think it's a bigger need. And I think getting Orlando Brown there would have made more sense. But Geist deserves to be taken in the first round in my eyes. He's that talented.
For sure.
Yeah, I would have liked Orlando Brown at that pick. Any offensive tackle or offensive guard at that spot. I mean, offensive tackle, ideally, you can put Orlando Brown at the right tackle because you have Brown on the other side. I like guys. Like you said, perfect fit. But if they had an offensive line, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable with it.
With the 21st overall selection, the Tennessee Titans select edge rusher Cleveland Farrell from Clemson. The Titans right now, they're a little old in the tooth at the pass rusher spot. Kevin Dodd kind of looks like a bust. He's a second-round pick from a couple years ago. They will hope that this Clemson pass rusher is the real deal, though. Farrell, he's going to be that guy after the combine that people are going to be talking about. He'll be rising up draft boards. He's got that ideal size, freaky length, and might have the best bend out of any edge rusher in this class. I truly think he's got top 10 potential.
Yeah, I like the pick. He's played. What I like about guys like Farrell is not the biggest name, not someone who, you know, totally stands out when you look at tape, but when you go back and watch, he does all the right things, and he's played in big games against big-name offensive linemen, right? He's gone up against NFL talent continuously throughout his career, so would be big for the Titans. Titans addressed the cornerback, and I believe they didn't address the linebacker last year as well, or no?
Later.
Late, right? Yeah, so, I mean, they're addressing that defense little by little. I feel like it's a great pick, Tom.
I do like that pick, but I'm going with number 22 with the Lions, another Clemson defensive end, Austin Bryant. They kind of complement each other very well.
Yep.
The thing is with Austin Bryant, a lot of people had him as a second-round pick. I have him going into the first round here to the Lions at 22, and I think maybe Austin Bryant might actually be benefiting too much from Farrell here, because we see Farrell rush the quarterback, and he rushes the quarterback very well, and then the quarterback scrambles, and you have Bryant there to clean it up. So maybe his stats are a little boosted because of that, because I believe he does have over 14.5 tackles for a loss. But regardless, you cannot deny that the guy does play very well. I would probably put Farrell a little bit higher than Bryant, but I think Bryant, with those stats and the way that he's looked so far this season, and with the Lions needing another pass rusher on that defensive line, I think Bryant here is a good pick.
Yeah, you got to think Ziggy Ansah is due for a payday.
And that's where I'm kind of going with my comparison. Farrell, Ziggy Ansah, you're going to see Ziggy start tearing it up. And if that's the case, and Ziggy's rushing that quarterback, Bryant should be able to clean it up, just like he's doing at Clemson.
Yeah, they're either going to need another complimentary piece or someone to replace Ziggy, in all honesty. But I like the pick overall. I don't think he's as physically gifted as Farrell, but he's been very productive with Clemson. He always generates a good pass rush, solid against the run, and just a high-quality football player.
Listen, he's good. But, Josh, much to your point, you know, he's benefited a lot by who he plays with. You go back and you watch the game when they played Auburn, and I'm wondering if he's going to bring his skateboard with him to Detroit, because he was on that the whole entire time, getting pushed back consistently against an offensive line that is good but not great by any means. In my opinion, the Lions are praying to God that I'm wrong. The Seahawks end up taking a lineman, and the Lions are able to draft Geis at number 22 overall, because that would be a steal.
Yep.
Steal for them. Agreed. And talk about another great scenario. Once we got to that pick, I was like, holy shit. Like, and it was just me being an NFC North fan, hoping he doesn't end up there. I am up now. Spot number 22. The Chiefs have traded with the Bills from last year, where the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, the Bills are up. I get the Bills twice, which sucks. But they hit. I had them taking Rankin to anchor that offensive line. Josh, you mentioned wide receiver, I believe, earlier when we were talking about Rankin. I do have him going wide receiver. A guy that is going to rocket up the boards, be a top three wide receiver. If you want to watch any film just to have a good time and enjoy and love seeing just a stud wide receiver being a stud wide receiver, go watch Simi Cobbs Jr. from Indiana against Ohio State. It is big catch, playmaker catch after playmaker catch after playmaker catch. The dude is a beast, 6'4", 6'5", 215 pounds, 220 pounds, something like that. Dude is an absolute freak. He plays at Indiana and has put up big numbers over and over again. He was injured last year a little bit and still had, I believe it was a 6 or 8 touchdowns. He has 6 touchdowns this year already. The kid's a stud. He's going to be an absolute freak in the NFL.
I absolutely love Mr. Cobbs, but I don't think there's a chance in hell this happens. I don't think there's a chance in hell that the Bills don't address the defensive line as well. You gotta thank Sean McDermott. What made him such a good defensive head coach in Carolina? They had a great defensive line. Had multiple guys who could fill into the rotation. They don't have that right now. And for that defense to be successful and to reach its expectations, they need some more defensive line talent. You should have drafted a defensive lineman, Tim.
What I will say, sorry, Josh, to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But and we talked about this a little bit earlier. In my eyes, we've seen a trend now in the NFL over the last 2 to 3 years that defensive side of the football is easier to plug and play than it is on the offensive side of the ball. If you don't have an offensive line, if you don't have wide receivers, it's harder to hide those players, right? We've seen it over and over again. Defensive side of the ball, not so much. Yeah, they can get torched here and there, but it's easier to kind of plug and play, in my opinion. And that's why I had them sticking on the offensive side of the football.
I honestly have not watched a ton of Simi Cobbs, to be honest. I've only seen a little bit. I was watching the tape that you spoke of earlier. For wide receiver, I kind of like St. Brown a little bit more on Notre Dame. I just like him, big body wide receiver, 6'4", and I know he's got kind of that same height because Simi's 6'4" as well. But I don't hate wide receiver at that spot. Like I said, I wish you probably would have went wide receiver earlier. But I mean, if you're gonna address it here, and you would have gotten the same wide receiver, then I'm okay with it. Another wide receiver, I like James Washington. I know you guys are probably not, I know Tom's not as high on James Washington as I am, but I do like James Washington as well. So
I like James Washington, but James Washington is more like a Calvin Ridley, a little bit smaller, not as as physical. And I like those guys, don't get me wrong, but I always question how they're going to translate. What are they going to do? These DBs in the NFL now are so physical. How are those guys going to translate? It's interesting.
It's just crazy when you think of James Washington, over 1,000 yards already in the college season, and it's just nuts.
Yeah, that's because in the Pac-10, they play flag football.
I know. Next up.
With the 24th overall selection, the Atlanta Falcons select defensive tackle De'Ron Payne from Alabama. There's a good chance that the Falcons will lose 2 starters on their defensive line this offseason, so the addition of a freak like Mr. Payne would do a great deal for them. The box score really doesn't show what Payne has done for Alabama, but this guy, he's been phenomenal. For a man that's 6'2", over 320 pounds, he moves very well. He's best suited to play nose tackle and to be a legit run stuffer who can occasionally get after the quarterback. But this guy is going to help the Falcons' run defense next year if they get him. You got to think of the teams they face, Panthers, Bucks, Saints. They like to run the football, and he'd do a hell of a job stopping that.
Before we made our selections here in this mock draft, we were talking about Payne and being picked here at 24. We thought he would be picked a little bit higher from Alabama. Like you said, the guy's monstrous. He stops the run, and for him going to Atlanta here, be an awesome fit. I like it.
I like it as well. The thought of him and their number one pick last year, Tack McKinley, on the same team scares the shit out of me, in all honesty. Like you said, perfect NFC South addition. You know that teams like the Minnesota Vikings are hoping that, you know, if he dropped there to add him to their rush defense, that would be a perfect fit. Everyone, like you said, I anticipate him to move up rather than fall at any point.
Next up, we have pick number, where am I at?
25.
The LA Rams. I'm going to go with corner Denzel Ward out of Ohio State. And the big knock that I've seen on Denzel Ward, again, not the tallest corner. He's only 5'10", 191 pounds. But, Tim, you brought it up earlier with Simi Cobbs Jr. When he did play against him, struggled against Cobbs' size. With those bigger-bodied wide receivers, I'm a little worried with Denzel Ward here. But regardless, he's still got speed, he's still got the athleticism, and he's got great footwork to kind of keep up with everybody else.
Yeah, the speed, footwork, all the athleticism. Not a lot of guys can get separation on the dude. Yeah, he might struggle against the Cobbs, the Mike Evans, those big physical guys like that with those jump balls, those 50-50 plays. But he's going to be a guy who's got all the talent to be a starting cornerback. And with them, Trumaine Johnson, they've franchised him in back-to-back years. He might be leaving, so they're definitely going to need some cornerback help for the Rams.
You know, it's I guess the biggest – last year, Tom, you scoffed at me when we talked about Ohio State corners, and I told you that, you know, they're good, but the system that they're in sets them up to be successful and to do the things that they do with the safeties that they have and with the team that's around them. And obviously, that's easy to say with anyone. Listen, obviously, Hooker got injured this year. You can't really tell. Eli Apple's had a good career, and he's kind of fallen off a little bit here as of late, but I still truly believe that. Josh, everything you said, I agree with completely. Ward's size and physicality. And to be honest, the scheme that he played in at Ohio State, I don't know if that translates well. And I don't think that he has the swagger to play for a Rams defense that has just that. So I'm not a huge fan of the pick, in all honesty. Number 26, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I had to laugh because as I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And I feel like Josh. Like, I'm Josh. This is a total Josh pick to make. But it makes too much sense. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to bring in Baker Mayfield. They're going to bring him in. They have the running back. They've built that defense is absurd. No one freaking likes Blake Bortles. Nobody. His mom, his girlfriend, nobody. No one likes him. They deal with him because he's an NFL quarterback until he can be replaced. He's going to be replaced this year. Baker Mayfield comes in with that attitude, with that swagger. Pair him back up with Josh's best friend, DD, I beat my mama, Westbrook. And they're going to go out there and tear it up. Mayfield has an opportunity to play early. Might be very similar to a, you know, how DeShone Kizer ended up starting. No one saw that happening, right? It could happen with Mayfield as well. That offense is run strictly through Leonard Fournette, and a Leonard Fournette and Baker Mayfield combo sounds very good to me.
I really don't think there's a chance this could happen with everything that Mayfield has done on the field, off the field. I don't think Tom Coughlin would suggest drafting him. I feel like they would butt heads quite a bit, but it's a perfect match for Baker Mayfield. If they can bring back Allen Robinson, you got Mr. D.D. Westbrook, that defense, that run game, and an improving offensive line, it's probably would probably be one of the better landing spots for Mr. Baker Mayfield. I think people are still sleeping on him. He's had a fantastic year. He's outperforming a lot of the guys that we have drafted above him, but a lot of people are down on him for his size and all the red flags with his off the field and character issues.
Like Tom Coughlin's never grabbed his dick before.
I like Baker Mayfield to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and like you did say, I like where if you can be you compare him back up with D.D. Westbrook. If you have a strong running game as well, Baker Mayfield has proven that he can throw the ball and throw the ball well. He had Joe Mixon. He had Samaje Perine last year, and he played well. He's playing well this year. And I feel like if you put him on Jacksonville with a great defense, he could do pretty good things. First-round pick, as much as I want to see it, just to prove a lot of people wrong, I don't think it's going to happen. I think if he's going to be picked, might be second, third-round pick. But I think he, talent-wise, definitely first-round talent. But I think a lot of that off-the-field stuff, his height, all that stuff may come back to haunt him.
I am so tired of hearing the off-the-field stuff. He did it on the field.
He got the drunken in public ticket
that
where he tried
like
to run
2 years ago.
It's still. It Joe Mixon punched a girl when he was 18, and they're bringing it up
when
he's 20.
That's physically assaulting someone. That's different.
He ran from the cops.
Big deal.
I'm just saying, teams are going to make a big deal about it.
Teams are going to make a big deal out of it. I don't know. Listen, there's a difference between college shenanigans and physically assaulting a woman, okay? If you can't see that, then shame on you. I agree, it's a little bit out there, but all I can think is if I'm the Jaguars is, okay, my defense is exactly where I want it to be. I have a star running back now. I have some weapons at wide receiver. who's the weakest player on my team? And even if there's someone weaker, I always think Blake Bortles first. Always.
I'm just praying the guy that I have the Panthers taking does not punch a woman because he would kill her. But with the 27th overall selection, Carolina Panthers select offensive tackle Orlando Brown from Oklahoma. This dude's huge. Close to 6'8", 350 pounds. The Panthers did a good job surrounding Cam Newton with weapons last draft season. But now it's time to protect their franchise quarterback. He kind of has had an up-and-down season, but you put on that Ohio State game, put on that film, and he looks like the best tackle in this class. Completely shut down Mr. Hubbard and Bosa. But then in other games, he kind of looks average. He struggles with speed, but it's quite simple with Orlando. If he gets his hands on you, the game, it's over. Extremely physical in the run game, but I think he's going to end up being a right tackle in the league, but he would help the Panthers overall and help them establish their physical nature that they're going to want to play with.
Yeah, I like the pick. I think Orlando Brown is a very good player. You see him playing on Oklahoma, protecting in the pass game, and he's a very good run blocker as well. So very safe pick at this spot, and it really helps Cam Newton stay upright, which is what they need, and hopefully giving some more running room and catching room for one Christian McCaffrey on that Panthers team.
Yeah, I don't know if, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, I haven't watched enough tape on Orlando Brown yet to know the answer to this. I don't know if he is athletic enough to move with that offense, to move with the McCaffreys, to move with the Cam Newtons, and just kind of the setup that they have there. I honestly, I don't know yet, so that'll be very interesting to me. What I have seen and what I've read, he'll probably go earlier than this. There's no chance that the Panthers will get him here. It can't hit on the pick whatsoever. And I'm sure Cam Newton would love having a true offensive tackle in front of him.
Pick number 28, Pittsburgh Steelers. I had trouble trying to decide between linebacker, defensive line, and corner at this spot. I ended up going linebacker, inside linebacker, Malik Jefferson from Texas. Maybe a little bit of a reach for an inside linebacker at this spot because there are probably one or two other guys that are probably rated above him. But I like the fit. I like it coming from Texas. He's having a great end of the year right now, all over the field. But he does lack in certain situations. His pass defense is not the greatest, but he's all over the field making tackles, especially on the stretch runs.
Pair him up with Shazier. You got a nice 1-2 punch there. Primarily run a lot of 3-4 in that system. But I like Malik. Very athletic, be sideline to sideline backer. Definitely needs to work on his coverage skills a little bit, but good football player.
I like him. I just don't know if this is the right fit for him, in all honesty. I just don't know if I think it might be a little bit early, and I feel like it's just not a good system for him to be in. The Steelers are still in, win now mode, so I think that their pick this year will tell a lot of where they project themselves, for next season. Are they going to take someone either on the O-line, or are they going to take a future quarterback, which is possible? Who knows if Big Ben even – there's questions of him retiring last year. So who the hell knows what's going to happen? I don't know. It's an interesting pick. With the 29th pick, I have the most highly debated, you guys love it, love to hate me pick of the draft. The Minnesota Vikings select offensive lineman, and I will call him a guard, Isaiah Wynn from the University of Georgia. So a lot of you are saying, who? That's what both of you said when I initially brought him up to you. This is a three-year starter for Georgia. He played his redshirt freshman year as well. He has 60 starts plus under his belt. He's had over a 1,000-yard rusher with him every single year. He has the potential to be two this year, and two of those seasons had over 900 yards for the secondary back. He is an absolute beast. He can play left tackle. He can play guard. He can play center. Yes, Josh, I know that the Vikings drafted Pat Elflein last year. I get it. The point is that the Vikings need a little bit of interior help. They have their tackle set up. They have their center set up. They need some interior help. And Wynn is someone who, what he lacks in size, his durability, and his run blocking, he's going to shoot up boards.
I need to watch some more tape on Zay Wayne here. And that's his name, right? So I need to watch some more tape on him. I honestly haven't. When you said his name, I thought it was a creative player. And we'll kind of go from there. So that's where I stand on it. But I do like the fact that he does play for Georgia, and they may have 2 1,000-yard rushers. That does give it a little bit of credibility.
And Chubb's first 1,000-rush year, he had Gurley behind him, which almost over 900 yards. Who was there? Oh, that was Isaiah Wynn as a freshman.
I like Wynn, but he's undersized. We'll see how he measures up at the combine, see if he's got those T-Rex arms or if he's got the pterodactyl wings. I think he'll be primarily used inside. He'll be a guard. They definitely need that interior offensive line help. But for me, he's probably the third or fourth best interior offensive lineman in this group. So I think this pick was definitely a reach. With the 30th overall selection, the New England Patriots select defensive lineman Christian Wilkins from Clemson. The third defensive lineman from Clemson drafted in this first round. Pretty crazy. But the Patriots prefer their defensive linemen who are versatile. Those guys who are good against the run and the pass, that play both of them effectively. That's exactly what Christian Wilkins is. He can play 5-tech or move inside to rush on passing downs. Extremely effective against the run. Very disruptive at the point of attack. Probably, in my eyes right now, probably the Clemson's most complete defensive lineman, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about this, in all honesty.
It's a great pick.
It just doesn't scream to me Patriots defense, number one. He's not someone who I see being in their scheme, and he's not I just don't see them going that route, in all honesty.
It's a good fit. I just, again, kind of like how Tim said, I don't know where the Patriots go with their pick. I have no idea anymore. Like,
trade back.
Yeah, they're going to trade back to somebody. I have no idea. I mean, if you're going to draft somebody, it may as well be Christian here. I just, who knows? I mean, it's a good fit, but I have no idea what the Patriots are going to do.
I see that someone like, you know, potentially a Harold Landry, if he can fall back. I see like a Harold Landry style in the Patriots defense.
Pick number 31, New Orleans Saints. I just changed my pick. I'm sorry, guys.
Solid.
Linebacker Josh Allen out of Kentucky. One of the highest rated inside-outside linebackers. And I feel like it's just a better fit than the linebacker that I did have on there. He's had a great season so far. Quite a few tackles for loss. I just feel like it was a better fit than what I had, so...
I like the Evans pick better. Yeah. That's who you switch from, the Alabama backer, but it really can't go wrong.
No.
I think they definitely
need a linebacker.
Yeah, they definitely need inside backer help. And this is one of the better inside backer classes we've seen in a while. There's probably 6 to 7 guys who could probably come in day one and start. So people are going to get good value, which it may make teams wait in the backer spot or may make them go up and get their guys. Who knows?
Josh, I love you going linebacker here because it just speaks to where the Saints are changing the atmosphere of their team, right? Interested to see what quarterback they take late. Or maybe even if the kid from Oklahoma State's there in the second round, I'll be
Mason Rudolph.
See if they could pass on him because I don't think they're going to be able to. Nevertheless, I liked your other pick better because when I kept searching Josh Allen, linebacker, Kentucky, Josh Allen, the quarterback from Wyoming, kept coming up. So I don't really know what to say anymore. So terrible pick, Josh.
You're up. Next, last pick.
Last pick at number 32. The Philadelphia Eagles are up. Different ways they can go. I'm going to go cornerback once again. Ken Webster, Ole Miss. Feel like it's a no-brainer. They don't have a go-to running back. Love from Stanford would be in play. But listen, with Blunt, even though that was a one-year deal, wasn't it? Blunt's deal?
Yeah.
Blunt Steel was a one-year deal, so he might not be back. I don't know what Kenyon Barner or Jay Ajayi, I don't know what any of their contracts look like off the top of my head. So maybe, you know, there's an outside shot that they try to go there. But the offense is set up pretty nicely. You go on the defensive side of the ball, they have played fantastic as well. The only place that they could use some help, in my opinion, is the cornerback position. Get someone who can cover, get someone who can tackle, who plays the run well with Ezekiel Elliott in your division. Give me Ken Webster.
Yeah, the Eagles have one of the best overall rosters in the NFL right now. They've been drafting great. They got Rasul Douglas in the draft last year, Sidney Jones. Both those guys can be probably their outside cornerbacks. Put Ken Webster, He's a little more athletic than both those guys. Put him in the slot, maybe play a little nickel, but he could play outside as well. He's extremely versatile. But you have those three guys, and you got an extremely young group of cornerbacks who are extremely cheap, so they can go out and spend money on other primary or other premier positions. That'll do a lot for the Eagles. That's team the arrow's pointing up.
Yeah, if you can add a Kevin Webster with those guys that you just talked about, Eagles are looking good. The only other thing that I could have maybe said, and we talked about this before, was wide receiver, re-sign Alshon Jeffrey after you sign that one-year deal. So, all depends on that. If they don't sign Alshon Jeffrey, you better believe they're going to be drafting a wide receiver over a corner. But it all depends on that for me.
Fair enough.
So, anything else, guys?
Nope.
Anybody shocked that somebody has not made our mock draft?
I've mentioned him a couple times. Love from Stanford. McFadden as well. Love from Stanford, though. Last year, we kind of didn't pay attention enough to the position players, right?
Yeah.
And they all snuck up there and, you know, jumped up everyone's boards. Someone like him who is, you know, just so extremely talented, can run through the tackles and can catch the ball out of the backfield, may see some early love.
No one's really sticking out for me, but There's a lot of depth at running back. I think interior offensive linemen, inside backers, those three spots, I think you're going to see a lot of talent slide. Armstrong Jr., the kid from Kansas, he's an edge rusher.
Yeah.
I think he could probably slide in the first round. There's better talent than people are saying there is. A lot of people are saying this is the worst draft class since 2013, but I think there's a good amount of people that still could go in the first round, and a lot of good corners that we didn't have go in the first round. So I think it's better than people are giving it credit for right now. I
agree with you. All right, well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed part two of our 2018 NFL mock draft. If you guys have not done so, which you should, go listen to part one. And then also go on iTunes and Google Play and subscribe to our podcast. Let us know how we're doing. Comment below if you hate it, you love it. Let us know what picks we got right, what you think we got wrong. And until next time, we'll see you.
Peace.